Hello, everybody, and welcome to week two of Go Forth, a music education talk show. I'm Summer.
And this is Owen. Today's episode begins with a coffee talk with Dr. Julia Shaw. She talks about diversity and how to teach diverse learners in the classroom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the interview segment of Go Forth, the Sunderman Conservatory Music Education Show. My name is Logan Shippey, and I'm joined today by Dr. Julia Shaw, who is an associate professor of music education at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music, as well as being an active researcher and choral clinician. Dr. Shaw, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, I would like to start off and let our listeners get to know you a little bit more. So I'm going to ask you, give our listeners a little overview of what topics in music education you're all about and what interests you.
Sure. I have a background in choral and general public school teaching and also adaptive music for students with exceptionalities. I taught in public schools for many years and then also with two community-based children's choir organizations, the Indianapolis Children's Choir and the Chicago Children's Choir. I am passionate about the child and adolescent developing voice. And I also taught throughout several demographically contrasting neighborhoods in Chicago, where I became very interested in culturally responsive teaching and how we can build on the cultural knowledge and strengths that children from various backgrounds bring to our music classrooms.
Incredible. And that's you right now. But how did you get interested in music education in the first place? And were there any formative moments or people that pushed you toward cultural responsive teaching?
Okay, well, those two things are maybe separate questions. Became interested in music education. I think, like so many of us, I was inspired by educators that I had. I grew up singing in a chorus directed by Jerry Blackstone, who is conductor emeritus at the University of Michigan, and had many peak artistic experiences under his guidance and desired to do something like that for students in the future. So I think that's a common story that many of us in the field have.
Sure.
And then I also had some experiences as a senior in high school, just directing choirs on my own that were connected to community service. So preparing people to go sing in a nursing home, preparing people to sing at various charity events. And so that was really rewarding. I love directing people in song and connecting music to ways we can contribute back to communities. And that really solidified my desire to be a teacher. So I think those two things are what led me to the field. And then I began my teaching career in a school in Indianapolis that was pretty diverse. And I was only able to teach there for 1 year. And it was my first year of teaching. So it raised a lot of questions about diversity and how to honor and respect that through our choral teaching. That unfortunately stayed unresolved for a while, because then I moved to Zionsville, Indiana, where I had a wonderful experience teaching, but the community was perhaps not diverse on a lot of dimensions we might think of. So a lot of people shared the same religion, the same race, same ethnicity, same socioeconomic status. And there I developed musically as a teacher, and the ways that I learned to teach in my pre-service education appeared, at least, to serve the students very well. And it was a comfortable and successful teaching experience. Then I moved unexpectedly to Chicago for my husband's work and ended up teaching full-time with the Chicago Children's Choir. And that had me going into 10 different classrooms each week, and they were each demographically contrasting. So I might teach in a school where 99.9% of people identified as Black. And then in the next school, it would be situated in a community where it was predominantly Puerto Rican migrant families. And the next might be in a neighborhood where it was primarily Mexican American families. And I quickly discovered I couldn't be the same teacher in all of those situations. Or I had a school where over 80 different languages were spoken. And so it was a time of rapid professional growth that was not always comfortable, but was one of the best things that happened to me. So I did a lot of learning from and alongside my students and branched out into some musical genres that perhaps weren't a big part of my preparation as a teacher. So it was this time of learning, and that learning process is obviously ongoing and continuous. That experience is what led me to be really interested in culturally responsive teaching. The idea of really considering the specific individuals we have in a school and the surrounding community in its context, and opened me up to many ways, many valid ways, that people engage with music and how we can incorporate more of those varied ways in the way we teach, as opposed to taking a more Eurocentric and classically based approach, which I would say is what I was taught to do before my Chicago experience. So, and then I, in my struggling and growing as a teacher, became really interested in how other teachers can be supported in engaging with these ideas. And that's what led me to want to teach college and work with people who want to become teachers.
Incredible. Now, time in Chicago, did that influence your research into urban music teachers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I was wondering if you could kind of unpack that word urban for us, because when growing up, it's always been associated with rundown schools without any money or, like overcrowded. What do you feel about that?
So unfortunately, it can carry some deficit-based view for some people. People may erroneously use it in a stereotypical way to describe schools that are underfunded or that don't have the support that they need. And instead, I hope that everyone would look at urban centers, and we do need to unpack what that word even means, for their assets and their distinctive qualities that make them wonderful places, and how those can be appreciated and built on in education. A lot of people use the term urban without defining it precisely. I really like Richard Milner's typology of urbanicity, and it considers population density among other factors to describe urban centers. And he describes communities such as urban emergent that may share some characteristics of large, dense metropolitan areas such as New York, such as Chicago. But there are some urban centers that share some characteristics with those that it might be a more mid-sized city, such as Columbus, Ohio, where I lived. I find the term urban can be helpful in teachers who love to serve schools and student populations we might describe as urban in finding each other. But beyond that, the label can be problematic if it's serving as coded language for schools that serve high percentages of pupils of color and those of low socioeconomic status. So sometimes we do have concentrated poverty, or because of residential segregation, large populations of BIPOC individuals that are concentrated in urban centers. So that's not to gloss over that possibility. But I think it's important to consider the demographic characteristics of each city on its own terms.
Do you feel that new teachers who see that label just on its face value and don't take those considerations into consideration are discouraged from teaching in a more urban area?
Unfortunately, I think that is a possibility. And one of the things we can do as teacher educators is to provide experience. Entering an urban school or an urban setting and supporting people while they're there to help make sense of the experiences they have and to equip them with approaches that they can use to teach successfully within those settings. So I think if you take time to get to know people within a place or a school or get to know a community and focus on what the strengths, the assets, the resources of that place are, that can start to challenge some of the stereotypical thinking we might have if we didn't ourselves grow up in a community we would describe as urban, or if we haven't had a lot of experience living there or working there.
Yeah, so how can a new teacher going into a culturally different from themselves, like area, set themselves up for success?
By being willing to admit that you don't hold all the knowledge and all the expertise, and having an openness toward learning from and with your students and their families. So really taking time to enter into conversation with people, or finding ways to explore how your students make music beyond the walls of your classroom. So if they're part of a gospel choir, maybe going, if they're doing a publicly open performance that you could attend, going and checking that out. Or if they have a garage band, seeing if you can visit their practice and see how they go about learning music. Or if they create music digitally, oh, can you bring me what you're working on? I'm so interested. I'd love to hear more about your work. Then observe very carefully the terms of engagement for participating in music in that space and see which of those you could bring in to your classroom. Of course, we can get into trouble when we adopt practices with which we are not knowledgeable or experienced without fully doing our homework. So finding, this would be a funny way of describing this, but there used to be a program on MTV called MADE, and there would be a person who wanted to do something totally out of their comfort zone. Okay, they're not at all a hip-hop dancer, but they love that. They want to learn about it. They want to be made into a hip-hop dancer. And what the show does is it connects them with a made coach, someone who is excellent in that area, who can help them study and learn and hopefully evolve in that direction. gotta find a maid coach. You need to find someone who has, as an early career teacher, someone who has expertise in the area that you want to learn and engage in just research, study, practice, musical practice to support the work you may be trying to do, incorporating traditions with which you may be less experienced into your own classroom.
Do you know of any resources that would be helpful to new teachers to find these experts out in the field?
Well, what's amazing is we have the internet.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You would be amazed who you can connect with through your own social media network. Mm-hmm. I'm seeking someone who has expertise in blank area. Who do we know? Just within your friends of friends, and the music community can be small in some ways, but we have the ability to Zoom with someone on the other side of the globe, provided we can work out logistics and time zones. So that opens up just a realm of possibilities. Universities tend to draw international diversity and diverse populations. So you could connect with a professor or an international student population. Another thing might be, sometimes we get trapped in these notions of who's a professional in music. But lots of people hold musical expertise, even if that's not their profession. Yeah. So being flexible and open-minded in who you think might be an expert, like quote-unquote expert. So I had a security guard at one of my schools in Humboldt Park in Chicago, who was a fantastic percussionist and was always giving me songs. And so talking to people in your community and getting to know them and finding out what their interests are can open up some leads. And then just not thinking of the culture as something distant and removed, but it's all around us. It's in our own backyard. You know, what's occurring locally that we can connect to really easily?
Yeah, that gets forgotten so often. I know I forget it. Thank you so much for that advice. Just one more question. I'm wondering, what are you working on now going forward?
What am I working on now? It's interesting how COVID has disrupted so many plans. So I am collaborating with teachers in four different cities, and we're doing some collaborative action research together that is exactly what we're talking about now. Let me back up and say, I was interested in, can professional development support teachers in embracing a more culturally responsive approach? And where that breaks down a little bit is that the approach unfolds in response to your specific learners. You can't just offer a set of strategies or a collection of repertoire or some sample lesson plans or a professional development session that will help people check the box and be culturally responsive. It's an ongoing process that's never finished. And you have to learn it in collaboration with your particular learners. So it could be hard for a PD presenter to try to teach that to you. So now I'm working with teachers who are actually just interviewing their students. And I don't mean like a formal sit them across a table with a notepad and interview them, but like interview conversations to learn more about ways in which they're musical, how they engage with music outside of school, all the things we're just talking about, and talking with their families too, and being able to observe how they make music outside of school. Then the teachers are translating that into a project that they'll do. So maybe it would be a series of lesson plans or an after-school club that they're going to make or some kind of community initiative or maybe a concert design that highlights the experiences of the students. And then as a researcher, I'm interviewing the teachers and working with them to understand, do they learn professionally from that process of collaboration with their students? That's my current project.
That sounds amazing. Oh my goodness.
It's really fun, but we've had to redesign it to not require in-person interaction.
Oh.
So yeah, so we had a pause, but are excited to be moving forward with it now.
Oh, wonderful. So
it was great to talk with you. It was Thanks great for to the talk opportunity.
Of course. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
To listen to more of our Go Forth, a Music Education Talk Show, please look up Go Forth, a Music Education Talk Show on SoundCloud.